Welcome to the P17 podcast, Doc of the Bay. I am your Dr. Bay, and before we do anything else, I invite you to close your eyes, relax your shoulders, and sit with Mr. Otis Redding for 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. What 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Listen, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on a dock of the bay, wasting time.
I hope you enjoyed that. Mr. Redding always reminds us we're not the only one going through whatever we're going through. And now, we're ready to go on. Today's topic is college. I know, you've been talked at a lot about college. I remember my own kids' second day of kindergarten. They got in the car with their two teacher parents and burst out crying. When we asked what was wrong, here's what we heard. I'm never going to get into college. There's this test you have to pass to graduate from high school, and it's hard, Mom, Dad. I don't even know what's on that test. I'm going to fail. That was day two of kindergarten. For the record, we skipped dinner and we went out for ice cream, which is the only response I think educator parents can have to dealing with what school does to their kids and what they realize they're doing to other people's kids. So, today is my personal ideas worth sharing on college. It's complicated, and people with insider info, because they have family who went or are going, they know ins and outs that others don't. Today, I'd like to be your insider. I once had a senior ask me, very embarrassed, if when you got to college, they gave you a set schedule of courses, like in Harry Potter. So forgive me for perhaps repeating some things you already know, but I want to lay out the very basics just in case. So first, college means different things. It can mean a set of classes that, if you pass, give you a certificate to do technical jobs, like auto mechanics or plumbing or medical or dental assistant or welding. Certificate programs are offered by most community colleges. You sign up for the courses you want, in order, maybe auto mechanics 1, then 2, then 3. You pay for each one you take, you pass, and when you've got all of the ones done, you submit your transcript, or transcripts if you take different courses at more than one college, to a state agency. You pay a fee, you get your certificate. Teachers have certificates, doctors have certificates, professionals have certificates. What a lot of students don't know is you do not need a high school diploma or an SAT score or anything else to enroll in a community college course. That's what the community in community college means. There's another program you start and finish entirely at community college. That's an associate's degree, and that's an Associate of Arts, an AA, or an Associate in Science, that's an AS. This is a college degree that takes about full-time school year, 2 years, to finish. There are lots of careers that look for an associate's as the degree to be hired. I put a link to a site that looks at just jobs that use associates on this assignment. Lots of associate degree courses are in fact the same as four-year university classes. In fact, most of the courses students take in the first 2 years at a four-year university or college, like chemistry and math and English, they're also offered at community colleges, and they count towards associate degrees. Let's call these courses 100 and 200 level prereq courses. 100 refers to freshman level. 200 is sophomore level. Prereq means that these courses have to be passed, sometimes you even have to get a high grade in them, in order to be allowed to enroll in more advanced classes in the same department. To give you a real life example, business programs at nearly every college have more students than they can handle. So, they set rules like this. Only the top 10% of students in Accounting 101 can enroll in Accounting 201. And only students who get a B or higher in 201 are allowed to go on to Accounting 301. To get a four-year business degree, one of the requirements a student has to meet is, say, 3 years of accounting. So a student who can't enroll in Accounting 201 because they aren't in the top 10% of Accounting 101 can't get the degree in business. They have to pursue their degree in something else, maybe something they weren't as interested in. So when you hear someone say they're going to start at community college and then transfer to a university, they mean they're going to take as many 100 and 200 level prereq courses as possible, and then apply to enter the university as a junior or a third-year student. They bring those credits with them, that's called transferring credits, to count as their freshman and sophomore year credits at the university. Then, as a junior, all they have left is 2 years of 300 and 400 level courses and any missing prereqs to pass so they can earn their bachelor's degree, a Bachelor of Arts or a Bachelor of Science. Why take that route to a degree? Well, first, you don't have to go through the stress of admissions to start taking courses that count. That's a plus my seniors could probably relate to right now. Second, community college is much cheaper than most colleges, even though the courses are the same. Third, community colleges scheduling their courses is often much more convenient for someone who isn't doing full-time school, or isn't living in a dorm right on campus, or who works during the day. Finally, community college teachers are professors and not graduate students assigned to teach a class while they're studying, like public four-year instructors often are. Wait, what? Yeah, who teaches, and that also means who grades you, in a college course is something lots of students don't think about. But you know how much it matters in middle and high school. Imagine now that you're paying for school and you have to do well in the course to go on in that degree. Who teaches it and who grades it really, really matters. So, it can be really wise to take especially the hardest prereq courses at community college, where the class will likely be smaller than on a university campus and will be taught by a professor. Like, instead of 600 people in a big lecture hall with study and quiz sections dividing students into small groups, the class will be 25, and they'll meet together with the same teacher every session. This is the real-world case for the number one most important class for students who are interested in anything that has to do with medicine. That's Chem 101. All over the country and at every level of college, community college, public four-year college, private college, elite Ivy League college, half of all the students who set out to do a science degree drop out of sciences because of Chem 101. It's designed that way. It's a weed-out course. So, just like the rules for Accounting 101, it's meant to reduce how many people go on in the major. Most students know you need a 4.0 in chem if you want to go on to med school. So what do you do when you barely pass Chem 101 or even fail it? Well, half switch to a different degree. Private four-year colleges rarely use graduate students as instructors, but they still may have a huge class size, and they may mean you're in a quiz section for some prereqs. That is, you're in a small group studying with a TA. Some public four-year colleges, like Wazoo and UW-Bothell and Western, rarely use a grad student for teacher. Others, UW-Seattle, almost always use grad students to teach prereq courses. So, when you're considering a college, check who teaches and how big the class sizes are. Now, don't get me wrong, some grad student instructors are fantastic. After all, they're also students, so they can be better in touch with what it's like to be you. But it's hard to know in advance if your class will have a good teacher, since a grad student only teaches a course once or maybe twice. Professors have ratemyprofessor.com and, you know, reputations and history you can look to judge before you enroll the entire course. All right, that is already a lot. Looks like I'll need to continue this topic more.